Good evening, everyone. I'll be sharing an opening prayer to begin this evening. O Lord, we gather together in this beautiful evening, entering a sacred space, giving thanks for another day of beauty, and we come together for a specific purpose, to let love radiate, to let our light expand as we share in unified radiation. How good to be together in love, appreciation, as we expand the beautiful current that is present within us, and we let it extend into the world. For all things we give thanks. In thy name, amen.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate you leading us and opening up this time with a heart prayer. Welcome to Wednesday evening service. And I'll be leading us through this hour together. We have some different speakers lined up here. We have Carolyn and Uma and Rachel and Oren. We also have some time of together in pairs with some questions. And for the most part, I want to continue forth in the current that was brought forth on Sunday by David. Just continue working with some of the material that's brought forth. One of the big things that I'm sure we all remember walking away from is the metaphor of the drum, which was a big part of the service. And we also talked some about metaphors during the extended trustee gatherings this past week. And David brought us through something around metaphors. And metaphors are really helpful. There's a big benefit to having metaphors. So I actually went and came up with my own definition for metaphor. This is not Webster or Merriam. This is the Raja Azul definition. What makes sense to me for why we use metaphors. It's the ability to use something familiar to exemplify the similarities in process or function with the less tangible operations within the invisible worlds. In spirituality, and consciousness, and we're working a lot with things that come out of the invisible. So they're tangible. And they're not often as easy for the mind to comprehend fully. So we use metaphors, which are relating to something that is easy for us to comprehend, that is very tangible, that we can see and understand, and it helps clue us into how something else works, whatever it is that we're relating to. So right now we're using the metaphor of the drum in order to relate to pneumoplasm. And that's what the majority of this evening will be about, looking at the generation and use of pneumoplasm and how we do that. Because it is a really important thing, especially for the mission that we're all here signed up and taken on to do through this work collectively. And it's always been a huge thing through this ministry, the understanding of and working with pneumoplasm. One of the things that comes out of the metaphor of the drum is that there is a vibration of sound. And this is something that's invisible, right? You can't see sound. But we can sense it. We sense it through our hearing, through the ability to perceive sound through the ears. We can also sense it somewhat in our body when that vibration and that beat is happening. You can kind of sense that just through your feeling body in the self. And so there's a way that sound moves, and vibrations of all different kinds that are invisible. Sound is one type of vibration. It moves almost through these like wave-like patterns, right? And that's what we learn in science. And yet that wave can come through in different forms. kind of like a water molecule, Emoto's work on freezing water molecules. You know, one type of water molecule will produce this beautiful, beautiful image of almost like a divine design being revealed through the water. And another one is just blah. Because of what's been affected in the water molecule by an invisible vibration. So it could be a very smooth vibration or it could be choppy. And we tell the difference in our sounds, whether it's resonant and harmonic or not. So these are a couple things that in the drum relate to pneumoplasm and the generation of it. So there's two things that I want for us to explore this evening. And one is the generation of pneumoplasm and then the use of pneumoplasm. Like, what do you do with it? What's our job and our responsibility in both of those two things? And inside of the generation of pneumoplasm, as we're looking at pneumoplasm as a whole, the definition that I've found most often repeated through Third Sacred School is that it is the connective substance between spirit and matter. So from the spiritual expression realm to the physical realm, it's this connective substance that connects the two. And it's actually born out of the physical. So this invisible substance that allows the potential for something spiritual to be born and manifest into the physical world actually comes out of the physical matter, which means it's inert potential. That means there's something available in every piece of physical matter that has the potential for spiritual activation and spiritual substance. And we know this is true when we look at the ideas of all is God. Like if God is everything and lives in everything, then inside of everything, all the physical substance is some essence of God. And when we're able to activate that, we call that kind of an activation and generation of pneumoplasm. And again, it's invisible. We can't perceive it with our vision, but we can sense it. We can feel the difference when there's like a thick and rich pneumoplasmic substance that's present and available. And one of the ways that we generate pneumoplasm, or not generate, is by the choice of our orientation. Orientation is a word that essentially means which direction we're turned to face. So which direction we're facing is the direction that we're oriented towards. And there's this kind of belief, I see it a lot, it's all about this dynamic of a dualistic world where there's oneness and separation, right? Everything's connected, or we're all just different things put together in a pool. And so we have these choices, and David's been teaching and bringing to highlight this teaching of love, truth, and life as through the three phases of what's real. Love is what's real. But then when love isn't present, there's an absence of it. It creates, I think, what we call fear. When there's an absence of truth, it creates what we call an illusion, something that appears real but isn't. And when there's an absence of life, it creates what we call death. And so when we have our orientation, our mind, our energy, our attention focused on love, truth, and life, we are calling forth pneumoplasm. We're literally calling it forth out of potential into a manifest, although not visible, invisible, but still a manifest experience inside of our reality. And on the other side, when we have our attention, our thoughts, our emotions, all focused on the absence of those things, on fear of what could happen, the illusions that show up. I see examples of illusions in the news a lot of times. It's the propagation of misinformation, you know, and so that's happening in lots of different sources, but that's a form of illusion. And it'll get in there and it'll start spreading fear. And probably because it's focused on debt. I look at our movies, and the majority of movies out there are either focused on fear or they have a death focus. So many of them. It's so prevalent. And so we have these options and choices of what we're giving our energy and attention to and what we're generating. Another thing that I see that's very important is giving our attention to learning and growth. Like, all of life is just experiences for us to learn and grow from. But sometimes we fall into this trap that's been defined before as the ABCs: accusation, blame, and criticism. And when those things come up inside of us, we're not developing or building pneumoplasm. We're actually dissipating. It's actually going the other direction, more towards the absence of those positive divine qualities that we actually really want to develop and bring forth more of inside of ourselves and inside of our collective. And the only way it happens in the collective is by individuals doing that for themselves. That's what makes up the collective. So one of the big points that I want to really deliver for everyone here is the responsibility that we hold in generating pneumoplasm. It's what comes from the physical, almost like reaching out to allow a space for something to come in from the spiritual. And it's a responsibility that we specifically hold. It could be described as building, like we're generating, we're building pneumoplasm, and then we're dissipating it, kind of like a balloon, like blowing up air. Makes it larger, and then you can let out some of the air, and it gets smaller. So that's one way to think of this invisible substance of pneumoplasm. Another way to think of it is an idea that there's this substance that is either very coarse or refined and fine. And it's often said that the things of the spirit are of a very fine nature. And so in order for that to have the space to manifest into our experience, we have to create a fine nature within the energies that are around us. And we do that by generating pneumoplasm, by refining the substance that is inside of our container, by focusing on things of life, truth, and love, by focusing on learning and growth, by generating positivity and letting that move through our thoughts and our feelings and our actions and our words. And every time we do that, we are almost like depositing into this bank account of pneumoplasm. And anytime we go in the other direction, we start fearing, we are worried about death more than like how to create life. Accusing, blaming, criticism, that's like withdrawing out of the pneumoplasm bank account. So one way to look at it, because it's always there. If you're alive, there's some pneumoplasm. You can't get rid of all of it. But one way that made sense to me is this idea of potency. So potency, like a liquid substance, where there's a concentrate, and then you just add water to the concentrate, and so it becomes less potent the more water you add. I think of it in the terms of parts per million. So there's always some pneumoplasm available in our energy substance. But how many parts per million are in there? How thick is it? How refined is our pneumoplasm by what we are putting through and what we're expressing into our world? So I want to invite Carolyn and then Uma to share a little bit from their own understandings and experiences regarding generating pneumoplasm.
Thank you, Gary. I'd like to share a little bit of a work experience that was triggered for me this morning when David shared the completed staff work framework, which really only works if there is a collective generation of substance or pneumoplasm. And I'd like to share a time when I was working in the Calgary health region in Canada when our health authority was doing work with children's services, with all of the school boards in the region, and with a variety of service providers, we received a pack of money from the province to put services in place in schools for children. And we had over 400 schools in the region. And I applied for the job as project manager, which was kind of overwhelming, but I just had such a vision of what we could do to better the lives of our students who had various disabilities, physical disabilities, psychological, emotional, social disabilities, and so on. And in doing that work, I found that the only way to bring people together and generate pneumoplasm, if you will, was to find a higher ground that was also a common ground for people to begin to coalesce and communicate and work together, despite all the diverse philosophies of the different school boards. And I love that work, actually, of working in this invisible realm and then bringing something of that vision and that higher purpose into a place of manifestation. So when I think about that work and bridge that to EDL and here to Sunrise Ranch and our work teams, it seemed that not only having a common mission, which we certainly do have in place, and common goals was important, but also each individual's vision, their values, their dreams of what could be achieved within our schools for our students. So the work teams in the Catholic School Board, the work teams in the public school board, the work groups in the various independent schools in the community came together and really began to hear one another's voices and to understand the different values of the different programs. And health services began to come together to talk about how the services could be delivered to children in schools to really improve their situation, their quality of life, their quality of education. So I'm excited about the prospect of doing more of that here at Sunrise and also within EDL. We have a service gathering coming up next week, and it's just so beautiful to have the diversity of consciousness, the diversity of ideas, the passion, the vision that each person brings. And that to me is the spark that really ignites our common mission and our shared purpose, our shared values. And so I look forward to doing that work with all of you. Thank you. Uma.
Thank you, Carolyn. I want to just share a brief experience of creating pneumoplasm. As many of you know, I raised my granddaughter, Eden. Eden is medically fragile and over the years has had many medical problems, some of them quite serious. And when she was younger, we would often race to the emergency room. And I'm sure you've all been in the emergency room at one time or another and realized what a lengthy process that can be. And depending on the circumstances of why you're there, it can be pretty scary too. You know, there could be something with her that was very serious, even life-threatening at times. And, but this just became part of our lifestyle. And what was happening was I was worried about her. Of course, she's very sensitive, as most children are, to my energetic field. And that affected her, that I was worried. And also, depending on the circumstances, impatient in that, you know, I'm suddenly called away from work. I'm supposed to be, you know, preparing for a presentation for our most important customer. You know, there's all the circumstances of life that when you suddenly have to take somebody to the emergency room and stay as long as that takes, it's disruptive. And so all of that was in the mix. And I decided we had to have a different experience around this because It is such a part of our life and we just can't live this way. So what I began to do very consciously was, knowing that it was time to go to the emergency room, in the midst of the hustle and bustle of getting everything ready and getting her out the door, or even calling the ambulance in some cases, I would just go inside, you know, multitask, you know, doing all this stuff, and at the same time go inside and get centered in my own spiritual grounding and come into a deep, still place within myself in the midst of the chaos. Gratitude has always been a big key for me in that. So to stop and just see this precious being that I have the honor of raising and having in my life and being in gratitude for her. She is amazing. As those of you who know her, it's easy to be grateful for Eden. And being grateful for Children's Hospital. Most of our visits involve Children's Hospital, an amazing facility, and so thankful to have the doctors that cared for her. So just shifting my focus and very consciously being present, just intense, deep, committed, dedicated presence, not concerned about anything else that needed to be happening, or I thought I was going to be doing this or anything, just totally, totally present. And as you can imagine, that shifted my energy field. It created a field of substance around me, which affected her instantaneously and allowed her to have a different experience. It also, I noticed over time, affected the staff, you know, the people that were caring for her. It brought them into a different state of being fully present with her and being fully present with me. I would bring blankets and pillows and her favorite books, and we would make ourselves comfortable in the emergency room. So that was a powerful experience for me to make a very conscious decision to shift that and to do so. So what we're going to do is get into small groups. It'll be actually sharing in pairs. There might be three people in some cases, but these are the questions that we're going to consider, and Jim will post them for us. How do you actively build pneumoplasm in your life? And the second question is, how do you dissipate pneumoplasm with yourself or others? So we'll have 4 minutes total in the small group and then come back together again.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I hope I had a little bit of a chance to share and hear from some others. It's just such a big thing because pneumoplasm, the developing of pneumoplasm, the building of that substance, is our responsibility. It's just what it is. It's one of the huge things. It's on each one of us that we have to be very conscious of and responsible for how we're doing that, what we're putting into our personal and shared fields. And one of the ways that we dissipate and kind of reduce the power of the pneumoplasm, the potency of it, is through emotional reaction. That came up. Every time we react emotionally, that's kind of reducing and dissipating some of the potency of the pneumoplasm that's available. And one of the ways that we build into that and create more is anything that's done in, let's say, right orientation with deep feeling. So the deeper you can go into the feeling of it, the greater potential of drawing forth and refining and building up the pneumoplasmic substance around you. And so any type of worship or spiritual practice or meditation, or appreciation, generosity, whatever it is that's of those higher qualities, give it as much feeling as you can, because that feeling is what's really building and drawing it forth. So now with some understanding, you know, there's pneumoplasm, there's what's available, and it has to be available for heaven to be able to, like, really manifest on earth. That's something we talk about a lot. You know, heaven manifesting in form, heaven on earth. But that's not possible unless there's enough pneumoplasmic substance available to be able to host such a creation in our world the way it is, with how humans have been over a long time. We don't have a real rich pneumoplasmic substance in our mass culture and society. And so that's what's made this ministry different, is the understanding of the vibrational medicine and the importance of building that substance to allow something different to be born and manifest inside of human experience. And so I'm going to throw out another analogy or metaphor, that building the pneumoplasm is kind of like developing the soil. And once you have the soil, something, a seed, can be planted into the soil and has the opportunity to grow. So our responsibility is developing the soil and then being conscious about what kind of seeds are planted into the soil that's been developed. And this is something that is best done by Spirit. Spirit has all the best seeds. Spirit, God, knows what heaven is available to be manifested on earth. We don't know. We have ideas. We come up with, you know, cleverness. But Spirit has the answer. Spirit knows the patterns that are actually desiring to be born into our experience. We just have to prepare the soil, make the way, and then maintain it. Because you could build a lot of pneumoplasm and something could start to happen in relation to Spirit, but then we dissipate it and it's like you got to start all over again. So you get chugging along and then back to the beginning. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200 Spirit points. Whatever. The point is that part of our job in the second part of using pneumoplasm is actually giving up the power to Spirit to be able to establish the pattern, rather than our own ideas of what should be, and then establishing that pattern and trying to manifest that based off of our perception of what's possible. Because I'm sure everybody here has some idea of how the world could be a better place. And if we all looked at them all together, there'd be differences, tons of differences. That's because we're coming from our own limited perspectives. And, you know, we're pretty smart humans, but still, it's a very limited ability to have understanding in relationship to all of creation. So even though we are creator, it's the creator's job to bring forth those patterns of heaven. Let them be guided by Spirit. It's a choice of will. I think this is something that's referred to in the Bible and other sources as an idea of my will versus thy will. So my will is what I want, what I think is right and what should be. And then there's thy will, which is something beyond my human comprehension of what is desiring to manifest. I don't always know what that is, even though I can sense it. I can let myself be guided by it. I can become informed by it and let that take the lead, even though I don't have to like fully figure it out. And so in one sense, I'm imposing my will of what I think is right and should be. And in the other, I'm allowing myself to be informed and to be guided into a recognition of what is right and what should be and what is wanting to be born. One of the things I see in that is this idea of what I'm calling, you're either ruled by the heart or you're letting the heart rule. So we have a heart substance, and a lot of our heart substance in the human realm is pretty emotional, like emotionally reactive. Depends on what's happening around us, sets off little emotions and reactions, and then we let those take the lead and just follow along. So somebody says something, boom, I don't like it. I'm upset. Now I'm upset. Now that's what I'm expressing out into my world, and I'm dissipating the pneumoplasm. And that's me letting myself be ruled by my heart, my human heart. But I also have this high heart that's connected to divine function. And if I can actually surrender that and let the heart rule, listen to my heart through my heart, my subconscious realm, to tune into spirit and what it's trying to guide, then I'm letting the heart rule, which is different than being ruled by the heart. I'm not subject to my heart, but I can surrender my heart up to let it be subject to something greater than myself and follow that. And that also has connection too with a word that we use called self-active, self-activity. It's basically the conscious mind getting in there, thinking it knows what's best, it knows what should be, and then trying to manipulate and create based off of its own ideas and from that place. And when that's happening, there's always attachment and reaction is present every single time because we're attached to our own ideas. We think we're right. And then we're reacting to whatever doesn't match up. We react to it. And then we're actually disciplining the pneumoplasm. And so we have some personal design. It's not the divine design. It's our own, you know, self-active, configured design of what we think. So our emotions and our thoughts can come from that space. And then we're planting the pattern into the pneumoplasm, or we can have this kind of surrendered space of listening to the sounds of spirit that can move through the still small voice, perceiving the divine design. And this energy always involves a sense of surrender and response. Not the attachment, but the detachment, the letting go, the surrender. And then the response to let something come through and act upon us. So we have ultimate responsibility in building up the pneumoplasm that's available for spirit to come in. And we also have some responsibility in what happens with that substance, whether we're letting it be sort of germinated by spirit or by our own ideas and thoughts. So I want to now invite Rachel and Oren to step into this space and speak to, as well as some personal experience around surrendering the pattern.
Thanks so much, Gary. I appreciate you. And hi, everyone. It's really great to be with everyone this evening and talk about what it means to fully let go and let God, because I think that's what we're talking about here today. And when we have our ability to do that, what I find what happens for me is that once I get out of the way, then the universe can actually play through my experience of this masterpiece called my life. And in that, I find full trust in my body, in my circumstances, and in the animating power of life. And that wasn't always the case for me. It wasn't until I realized that I was quote unquote safe, right? There were, for whatever reason, there was energy in my life where I didn't feel safe. And it wasn't until I realized that the dust had really settled in my world and I could see clearly now, the rain was gone. And I realized that I was living in a body that I didn't trust. Like my whole life, up until I had this idea, right? It was always not right, not thick enough, not thin enough, not this enough, not that enough. And to realize that I was safe in my own body and that I could trust the animating force of life that was in my body, it was like I gained superpowers. And I realized how strong I actually was, how beautiful I actually was, right? No matter what things that weren't perfect, like there was like perfection inside of me. There was a place of wholeness inside of me that I didn't actually know until like just a couple years ago, right? Like to feel antsy in one's own skin, I would never wish that on anybody. But the level of joy that I had when I was able to step out of my mind and into the world and actually have the ability to show up and to soften and stay soft, to open and stay open, and to revel in my ability to choose joy and abundance and ecstatic living really gave me the ability to self-locate where things were off in my world and come back in balance and take full responsibility for all of my reality and find proper orientation in my physical, spiritual, and emotional ecology. You mentioned soil. And it's so important that once we are able to accept the entire ecology of our reality, nothing becomes something to sterilize ourselves from or to fix or to this or to that, but to actually come back into balance and welcome it all home, because it all deserves to be welcomed home and it all has a place. And instead of looking at what our landscape is based on our assumed discrepancies, and from that place, what I found is that in the level of surrender that I'm available to receive, I'm able to come back into balance and presence. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, guys. I can really feel the field building with this sense of acceptance and trust and gratitude. This morphic field really is our work in the world. And I find that the more spiritual substance we generate, like that drumhead, you know, that it was very clear in David's message on Sunday that the drumhead itself is the symbol for the morphic field that we are collectively generating together. And every time we come together, we are creating a great sound, a great tone into our collective field. And this richness of substance is very important to cultivate. It guides and protects the field from within, so to speak, and makes a greater current available so that our attunement service becomes more effective. I find that in my own practice of daily sanctification, that sanctification itself creates order. It creates peace. It creates space for greater spiritual evolution, and it protects the field from conflicts, from accidents, from injuries. So whenever those kinds of things start to appear, conflict, accident, or injury, it's a sign from life to me, to my heart, that greater current is necessary. And I just want to celebrate one way that we have, as a community, have really put this into practice. And I've seen that in our daily prayer practice, there's been a great miracle in the way that our community has been protected from a recent emergency situation in our field, which was the Cameron Peak Fire. This fire started on August 13th with just 20,000 acres in kind of a hard to reach windy area. The emergency crews weren't able to use air support. And then, I don't know, it was around early September, we did one of our daily prayer circles with Katie Grace. Thank you, Katie. That we did a meditation on pray rain, not pray for rain, but pray rain. And in that meditation, we could feel the raindrops on our skin. That was one of the
visceral components of that collective meditation of what we generated into the field. And that day it rained, and those winds continued to climb, however, and the Cameron Peak Fire quadrupled in size from 20,000 up to 80,000, 90,000, 100,000 acres. And we were prepared to evacuate. That mandatory evacuation line was only 10 miles away. But somehow on the 7th of September, earlier than snow has ever come to Colorado before, we had a snowstorm of 12 to 18 inches that assisted this community and all of our surrounding communities to have a bubble of safety so that we can fulfill our responsibility in the work that we share of what we are contributing to the morphic field of humanity. I really feel that this blessing from the divine encouraging us in our collective efforts and showing us our ultimate responsibility of we're in this place for a reason, and we are giving all that we have to give. And we can see what's the way that that manifests in the field. And we have such a deep responsibility, I'd say, particularly in this coming to the end of this year. So we're going to go into sharing pairs again, could be trios. We're going to consider a couple of questions. The first question is, how do you surrender your personal will to a higher pattern? And the second question is, how do you impose your ideas into the creative process? Okay, so I'll say it again. How do you surrender your personal will to a higher pattern? And how do you impose your ideas into the creative process? So let's work our magic and go into some sharing. Thank you.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This has been a really good time of sharing here. Something that came up for me in that sharing time was embracing the idea that I don't know. This is often something I've even heard as, or what I've said, as a way of defining innocence. It's the space of not knowing. And when I can let go of the idea that I know, then I'm open to learn and to receive knowing from that which already does know, which is spirit, much higher than my own conscious mind. And I was reminded of a time when I first involved with the emissaries. We're doing Wednesdays and preparation times. And I began this practice where ideas that would come up in my mind related to what we were talking about in the collective, and I would check and almost ask a question of it, like, is this of spirit? And I would feel into that feeling that was like a push. And when it was like a push, like something from inside pushing, saying, yeah, share that, that's when I knew it was like spirit motivated. Because I can have all kinds of thoughts just rumbling around in my own self-active mind that may or may not be of value. But when spirit pushes something through the machinery of my mind, that's when I know there's the goods. That's the seed that wants to be planted inside the soil, the pneumoplasm that's being developed. And I like this seed soil because it's very relevant as a metaphor. Because once that's truly happens, and the pattern is set by spirit, we don't really have a whole lot more to do. Just maintain the pneumoplasm. Like, keep building it and don't dissipate it. It's kind of like when you plant that seed, you don't dig it up to see how well it's doing. You just let it do its thing and keep giving it the proper conditions it needs to grow. That's it. That's our job. But we have such responsibility in the space of making sure we're developing that space of pneumoplasm. You know, and if two people in a house, that's a shared responsibility from both people. You know, here we have a community of many people, And it's a shared responsibility of all of us. Whoever is connected inside of a collective shares the responsibility of the building, the generation, and the maintaining, not dissipating, of the pneumoplasm so that it is available for spirit to work its magic. And this brings us back to the metaphor of the drum. There's two aspects that David was bringing out on Sunday. One is being the drummer. I'm the drummer, the drumhead. Now that means I have the responsibility for establishing the tone and keeping the beat. And that is the same as building pneumoplasm. I have the responsibility for what I'm putting out in my thoughts, my feelings, my words, my actions. That's actually establishing the tone that's letting the pneumoplasm be present. I'm the cause for the pneumoplasmic substance around me. But there's another aspect, not just being the drummer, but also being the drum head, being the drum, and letting myself be played by the drummer of spirit. And that is similar to like offering up the pneumoplasm and allowing spirit to establish a pattern for heaven to be manifest on earth. And it's like being at the effect versus being at the cause. In one space, I am that thing which is acting upon something, the environment, the energy, the substance around me. And in another space, I am that which is being acted upon, spirit. To get really, really clear about where we hold responsibility in each one of those ranges, because that's how we actively play our role in the manifestation, the letting, the allowing, and the meeting halfway of producing that which needed for the heavenly things to be birthed in form through us on earth. So I just want to take the last couple minutes and see if there's anything burning from anyone that they'd like to bring into the group as a comment or insight from this time.
One thing that I've been thinking of in relation to pneumoplasm, I've been thinking of Jesus driving the money changers out of the temple, something that is brought forth in the New Testament. And I wonder if he was reacting in anger. Was he dissipating pneumoplasm, sacred substance? And when we see something that is violating the holy place, what is our responsibility? To do nothing or to somehow meet that circumstance? I know these are just questions. I'm hoping that someone will be able to provide some enlightenment for me.
Asking the question is the first step to knowing the answer. I don't know if we're going to get there in the next minute, but it's a beautiful consideration for each of us, how we handle that responsibility.
Gary, I want to thank you for your spiritual brilliance and passion this evening and for hitting the nail on the head about substance and pneumoplasm. Like many of you, I've traveled and traveled and traveled and found communities that use the same language, love, peace, light, and so forth. But I don't feel the bubble there. I don't feel the surround. I don't feel the thick viscosity of generated pneumoplasm. And people may think it's a parallel universe and that there are many spiritual groups all doing the same thing. But, you know, I'm glad there are people who are making clothing because I can't do that, or making automobiles. There are people who have different functions in the world. But it's extremely rare to feel you're in an area where people have the responsibility to generate pneumoplasm. If we're not doing it, who's doing it? There may be others who can refine diamonds or whatever their role may be. But we know how to do this, and we know how important it is to do this, and we know it's a unique responsibility and to spread the training of how to do this elsewhere. So I'm not judging other communities or other beings. They're probably doing something that is also very important. But this, to me, is the most important, It's the only place I've encountered it, and it is so special, and it transforms absolutely everything else. So to have that focus, the focus of being the drum producing the pneumoplasm, is unique, essential, and thank God there's a community of people who are dedicated to this. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you, everyone, for coming together in this time and space for this purpose. And may we move forward just with a greater individual and collective sense of being conscious and intentional all the time, evermore, with how we are generating the positive substance of pneumoplasm in our personal and collective fields for ourselves and for our world. Thank you. Blessings to all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Gary.
Yes.
Really
appreciate being with you. Much love.
Much pneumoplasm to everybody.
Love to all.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
This is beautiful.
Great.